This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the June-July issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have a listening with children's book writer and illustrator Scott Nash, and then we'll continue our reviews in literary fiction, including a review of Anything is Possible by Elizabeth Strout, read by Kimberly Farr. It's an Earphones winner. And we have an interview with author Christine Baker Klein and a review of her latest, A Piece of the World, read by Polly Stone. Let's get right to it. Listening with Scott Nash, children's book writer and illustrator from Peaks Island, Maine. You might be surprised to hear that the award-winning illustrator of children's books such as The Bugliest Bug and Saturday Night at the Dinosaur Stomp listens to thrillers, horrors, and sci-fi audiobooks while he's illustrating. I don't want to listen to something sweet and comforting, Scott told us. I could be working on the cutest picture book and listening to Cormac McCarthy's The Road. Audiobooks are a constant companion to his art. Whenever I'm illustrating, I'm listening. Don't miss any of the wonderful details in the A Midsummer Night's Dream-inspired cover that Scott illustrated for us this issue. And you wonder what he might have been listening to. Jennifer M. Dowell did that interview, listening with Scott Nash, children's book writer and illustrator from Peaks Island, Maine. Okay, that concludes that listening with, and now we will turn our attention to our fiction, literary fiction, and our first review is an Earphones winner, which, as you know, Audiophile awards to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. In the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews display a QR code, which, when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code, and if you don't have a smartphone, it's okay. You can still hear sound samples of most titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. So, our first review in literary fiction is The Promised Anything is Possible by Pulitzer Prize winner Elizabeth Strout. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kimberly Farr. Through a series of linked stories, Strout revisits the small town world she introduced in My Name is Lucy Barton. The citizens, now older but not necessarily wiser, face life's uncertainties as best they can. In an impressive encore performance of Strout's prose, Kimberly Farr successfully mines the essence of each flawed character, giving hope and pain equal billing without succumbing to theatrics. Farr teases out the conflicting emotions of a mother and daughter who are reunited after years apart, the fragility of a Vietnam War veteran on the brink of PTSD flashback, and the guilt of a man who he feels over his father's long-ago sins. Farr's presence melts into the background, allowing the stories themselves to take center stage. This is an audiobook to get lost in. So says our reviewer Candace B. Levy of Anything is Possible by Elizabeth Strout. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kimberly Farr, available from Random House Audio for 8.25 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Our next review is Fender Benders by Bill Fitzhugh. It's an Earphones winner, read by Colby Elliott. Narrator Colby Elliott exuberantly presents this wild and crazy story set in Mississippi and Nashville. It focuses on the country music industry, its stars, and occasional instances of behind-the-scenes corruption. Elliott's expert rendering of the characters includes music executive raspy-voiced cheater Bill Herron and his silver-tongued partner Franklin Peavy, their latest superstar, dazzling Eddie Long, and constantly inquisitive journalist Jimmy Rogers, who always names names. Minor characters, such as the spirited African-American crew at Estella's Rib Joint, are equally well portrayed. Most entertaining is whiny New York agent Jay Colvin. Listeners will immediately recognize each character's voice as they follow this topsy-turvy story about who really penned the song everyone loves. Most touching is Elliott's rendition of a gorgeous spiritual at a heartbreaking funeral. Susan G. Baird wrote that review of Fender Benders by Bill Fitzhugh. It's an Earphones winner, read by Colby Elliott, available from Last Word Audio for 9.5 hours unabridged. Next we have I Liked My Life by Abby Fabiashi. It's an Earphones winner, read by Therese Plummer, Susan Bennett, and Dan Bittner. Listeners won't want to miss this surprisingly positive yet truthful novel. Teenager Eve and her father Brady struggle to understand why seemingly happy mother and wife Maddie committed suicide. Susan Bennett's soft, gentle voice is perfect for Maddie's sections, and her self-assured narration highlights the character's practicality as she questions her circumstances and tries to make things right with the family members she left behind. Therese Plummer's youthful pitch and varied tone, from terribly sassy, believably project Eve's roller coaster emotions and changing perspective on how to live a full life. Dan Bittner's performance teases out Brady's guilt, anger, and insecurities as he reviews his married life and attempts to create a new future. All three performances are strong, creating a seamless listening experience. So says Candace B. Levy of I Liked My Life by Abby Fabiashi. It's an Earphones winner, read by Therese Plummer, Susan Bennett, and Dan Bittner, available from Macmillan Audio for 9.75 hours unabridged. And the magazine does carry a QR code. Next today we have, in literary fiction, Savage Theories by Paula Olesharak, translated by Roy Kesey. It's read by Anna Gross. Savage Theories is the title. Narrator Anna Gross casts a spell as she mirrors the dreamlike prose of Argentinian Olesharak's dazzling first novel. Delivering three narratives with slight alteration in tone and emphasis, Gross portrays the young Kamchovsky and her boyfriend Pabst as they move through today's energetic Buenos Aires, searching for the novel's enigmatic narrator, Rosa Ostrich. In a separate narrative, Gross sparkles as she creates the world of 1917 and a Dutch anthropologist who finds connections between present-day violence and the evolution of our primate ancestors. Deftly mixing the humorous and the tragic, Gross portrays historic and contemporary characters with a slight smile in her voice. Randy O'Brien wrote that review of Savage Theories by Paula Olesharak, translation by Roy Kesey, read by Anna Gross. It's available from Recorded Books for 8.75 hours, unabridged. Our next review is The Guest Cat by Takashi Hirede, read by David Shi. A seemingly simple story gives way to unexpected death in Hirede's International Prize winner. David Shi narrates the story of a couple who rent a guest house outside of Tokyo to get away from the busy city. Both being writers, they work in the same house, yet have become distant from each other until the guest cat arrives. Shi's narration gives the story a sense of the ordinariness of life while still keeping the listener engaged. Hirade's poetic prose is brought to life through Shiv's plain-spoken voice. As the husband and wife begin to interact with the cat, their lives start to take on new meaning until everything changes. While this is a short novel, listeners may be so charmed that they finish it and start it again immediately. Andrew G. McKinley wrote that review of The Guest Cat by Takashi Hirade, read by David Shi. It's available from Tantor Media for 3.5 hours of unabridged listening. And this is a reminder that you are listening to the June-July issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. I'm not sure, ladies and gentlemen, of the pronunciation of that Takashi Hirade. It's spelled H-I-R-A-I-D-E. All right, let us move forward with The Kingdom. It's written by Emmanuel Carrer with a translation by John Lambert, and it's an Earphones winner read by Stefan Rudnicki. An expert narrator can anchor the most meandering of books, as Stefan Rudnicki does with this one. Carrera focuses on the apostles Paul and Luke, neither of whom knew Jesus, but who were, nonetheless, instrumental in shaping the early Christian movement. That's the storyline of this audiobook, but it's also laden with an intricate weave of personal reflection, close dissection of biblical texts, and a good deal of backtracking and second-guessing. Rudnicki's steady pace and confident delivery provide the unifying thread for a narrative that is fascinating, but too often unchecked and unedited. As Carrera strips away inconsistencies and probable elaborations, what's left intact is the voice of Jesus, a distinctive and recognizable voice that has survived through the centuries. A provocative book, expertly read, this is a historical reconstruction for believers, and even more so for non-believers. David A. Walton wrote that review of The Kingdom by Emmanuel Carrera, translated by John Lambert, and an Earphones winner read by Stefan Rudnicki. It's available from Blackstone Audiobooks for 16.5 hours, unabridged. Our next review today is The Shadowland by Elizabeth Kostova, read by Barry Kranick, Fred Berman, Barbara Caruso, and George Guidel. Kostova, author of The Historian, delivers a convoluted saga spanning decades that allows the four outstanding narrators to shine. American Alexandra Boyd relocates to Sofia, Bulgaria to teach English. Upon her arrival, a mishap with luggage leaves her with someone else's bag, which contains an ornately carved wooden box filled with cremated remains. Determined to locate the owners and return the box, Alexandra becomes entangled in Bulgarian history, ranging from World War II through the communist takeover in the 1940s to the present. While Kostova's lengthy novel would have been better served with fewer digressions into minutiae, Barry Kranick wonderfully carries the bulk of the narrative, while Fred Berman, Barbara Caruso, wonderful as Baba Yana, and George Guidel handle their parts with professional expertise. Sandy Henschel wrote that review of The Shadowland by Elizabeth Kostova, read by Barry Kranick, Fred Berman, Barbara Caruso, and George Guidel. It's available from Random House Audio for 18 hours, unabridged, and I am Sandy Henschel. Okay, continuing now, we have The Wicked City by Beatriz Williams, read by Julie McKay and Dara Rosenberg. Julie McKay and Dara Rosenberg narrate this story of two women who live in New York City, 70 years apart. Dara Rosenberg portrays Jin Kelly, whose city experience takes place during Prohibition. Rosenberg's smoldering twang is reminiscent of the smoke-filled speakeasies that the fast-living Jin frequents. Fast forward to 1998 and to Ella Gilbert, an accountant whose life is the exact opposite of Jin's, perfectly ordered, just like her spreadsheet columns. McKay's flat tone reflects Ella's monotonous life until she moves to an apartment in Greenwich Village that leads to a series of discoveries. Rosenberg and McKay are remarkable performers who deftly deliver all the emotions of these complex characters. Hop on the A-train for a powerful ride. Elaine Barry wrote that review of The Wicked City by Beatriz Williams. It's read by Julie McKay and Dara Rosenberg, available from Harper Audio for 13.25 hours of unabridged listening. Now we will take a look at our interview with Christina Baker Klein. Best-selling author Christina Baker Klein says her new novel, A Piece of the World, about the relationship between the artist Andrew Wyeth and the real-life subject of his iconic painting Christina's World, was by far the most challenging book she's ever written. Klein's novel illuminates the life of Christina Olsen, that mysterious figure lying in a golden field in the painting. The story moves back and forth in time from Olsen's childhood to her adult life, rooted in the large main house built by her family, whose early members, relatives of Nathaniel Hawthorne, abruptly departed Salem, Massachusetts in 1743. I really wanted the book to be as spare as Wyeth's painting, she says. I wanted it to feel like you were in this remote spot with her, that you were in that house. The effort of drawing exclusively on biographical details while imagining her character's interior motivation left its mark on Klein, literally. In one particularly harrowing 8-week span, the deeply distracted author garnered 18 stitches, a second-degree burn on her arm, and a broken collarbone. I was living in a feverish, altered state, she recalls. It was miserable. I had nightmares about this book. At one point, I remember telling someone, I won't be able to do this. It's bigger than me. The book took over my mind and body. Every word feels hard won. Describing the challenges, Klein still sounds a little breathless, as though she's surprised she prevailed. First, she says, there was this sense of responsibility of writing about this real person, real people, with living family members, of presuming to understand her consciousness. Then there was the question of plot. Her last novel, Orphan Train, had a natural sense of forward momentum, but in this novel, Klein had to construct every moment of suspense or drama out of the life of an ordinary Maine woman who left her home only 2 times. The drama, such as it is entirely internal, she tells us. Perhaps most challenging of all, she notes, was that Christina Olsen made choices that Klein would not have had her characters make, choices that sometimes seemed capricious or mean and that were often inscrutable to Klein as she researched. How do you make your character sympathetic when she does unsympathetic things? Klein points to Christina's decision to stop speaking to a close friend in her tight-knit community, a vow she kept for the rest of her life. Had she been creating a work of fiction, Klein says, she would have effected an external resolution of some kind. I'd have had the two bump into each other. Her inability to change facts changed her as a writer. I had to create internal resolutions for this character. It's more emotionally complicated response, and that deepened me as a novelist. Klein also worked hard to get Christina's voice just right. The book includes plentiful dialogue, although many in Christina's world were notably taciturn Mainers, especially her brother Alvaro, who rarely spoke at all. Klein wanted the dialogue to have a freshness while being faithful to its time. She frequently checked to make sure certain words were in currency. Mostly, she found herself paring back, working to distill as much meaning as she could get into as few words as possible. I was ruthless about editing over and over again. Klein, who enjoys listening to audiobooks, especially on long book tours, is thrilled with people's reaction to Polly Stone's narration of the novel. People have been telling me that her voice is perfect for Christina. I'm so glad to hear that. She adds, I chose Polly Stone. She wasn't on the publisher's initial list, and I went out and listened to all these narrators. She was just spectacular. I knew I needed someone who had a little grit in her voice and who also could do some of the work of making Christina a sympathetic character. And I thought she did that beautifully. Now, researching her next novel about the little-known history of women convicts sent to an island off Australia, Klein says she's slightly wary of being labeled a historical novelist. Before Orphan Train, she wrote only contemporary novels. And I want to get back to that at some point, but I just found another story that's so mind-blowingly excellent that I can't not do it. It's another epic story, and this one may be my biggest reach yet, about the kind of women who transformed Australia. Jesse C. Grierson wrote that interview talking with Christina Baker Klein, and here's a review of her latest, A Piece of the World, read by Polly Stone. Polly Stone's first great choice in performing this lovely audiobook is not to attempt a Down East accent for Christina Olsen, which would have made her humanity less universal, and which no one gets right anyway. Christina is a model for the woman in the field in Andrew Wyeth's famous painting Christina's World. In telling a story of her, Klein runs a huge risk because it's the wondering who Christina is and what she is feeling that gives the picture its power. Making her specific might have destroyed our connection to her, but instead, amazingly, Klein paints a Christina just as evocative and memorable as Wyeth's. Stone does the best possible thing in her performance. She becomes invisible, letting this remarkably imagined Christina live and shine. Beth Gutchen wrote that review of A Piece of the World by Christina Baker Klein, read by Polly Stone. It's available from Harper Audio for 8 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Okay, back to our reviews in fiction. We have The Widow's House by Carol Goodman. It's an Earphones winner, read by Cassandra Campbell. Cassandra Campbell's remarkable acting skills and lovely voice are perfect for Carol Goodman's engrossing gothic mystery. Claire and Jess Martin leave New York City for upstate New York, hoping to jumpstart their languishing writing careers. Financially strapped, the couple agree to be caretakers for their former professor, Alden Montague, at his family home, Riven House. After Montague tells them a story about his great-grandfather running off with a local apple blossom queen, then leaving her to marry another, Jess and Claire are both inspired to write again. Campbell navigates the serpentine plot, including ghost sightings, suicides, murder, and madness, in a way that makes the hard-to-believe credible. Campbell personifies all that is good about audio acting with this seamless, elegant performance of Goodman's spellbinding ghost story. That review was by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, of The Widow's House by Carol Goodman. It's an Earphones winner, read by Cassandra Campbell, and it's available from Harper Audio for 10.75 hours of unabridged listening. And the magazine does carry a QR code. Next in fiction, we have The Midnight Cool by Lydia Pelley, read by Don Hagen. Pelley, P-E-L-L-E. You may decide. Okay, The Midnight Cool, the story of two horse traders swindling their way around the early 1900s Tennessee, becomes an engrossing audiobook, thanks to the narration talents of Don Hagen. Sometimes gruff and other times sweetly humorous, Hankin's tone captures the time period with universal appeal. He chooses to take a subtle approach to various character voices, and his skill with transitions and variations is such that the listener can easily follow along. When protagonists Charles and Billy find themselves the unfortunate owners of a vicious black horse, they make personal and professional choices that promise or threaten to change their lives forever. Reminiscent of the work of Larry McMurtry and Larry Watson, this audiobook has the power to transport the listener to an earlier America. Leslie B. Fine wrote that review of The Midnight Cool by Lydia Pilley, read by Don Hagen, available from Harper Audio for 11 hours of unabridged listening. And finally today, we have The Rising by Heather Graham and John Land, read by Luke Daniels. Narrator Luke Daniels introduces listeners to Alex Chin, star quarterback who was brought down in a football accident, Samantha Dixon, his tutor, and more. A bloody trail of bodies and broken machines is left in their wake as dramatic turn takes place, and the two must struggle to escape terrifying, unearthly entities. Daniels is such an amazing repertoire of voices that he gives each character, human or cyborg, unique nuances and makes the story exciting and easy to follow. Listeners will be drawn into a sci-fi mystery so believable they'll smell the terrifying whiff of oil that identifies the aliens and their minions. Arlene M. Griffin wrote that review of The Rising by Heather Graham and John Land, read by Luke Daniels. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 12 hours unabridged. And that's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when I have reviews in Young Adult Listening, including reviews of The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, read by Bonnie Turpin, We Are Okay by Nina LaCour, read by Georgiana Marie, and Frog Kisser by Garth Nix, read by Marisa Kalin, all Earphones winners. I also have a narrator interview with Steve West and a review of his reading of Lainey Taylor's Strange the Dreamer. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.